Hello, pleasure lovers. Welcome to another episode on Pleasure Talks, where we cover everything from cannabis and sexual health related topics. Today, I am so excited to have an amazing guest with me, which is Miss Jane Green. She is the CEO of Jane Green and a dear, dear friend of mine. We go way back and, you know, we talk about cannabis and sex all the time. So it's going to be a juicy one. So get your joints, get ready to sesh with us and have an amazing conversation. Just as a disclaimer, as always, for all of our episodes, we are not sharing our stories to treat, cure, or promote cannabis use for anything. We always say that you should speak to a doctor before any cannabis use. Pleasure Talks is a platform for women to share our stories on cannabis and sexual health from a personal standpoint. So thank you guys again for watching another episode. So hi, Tanji, it's so nice to get you here with us today. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. How are you today?
Oh, thank you, Antoinette, for having me. This is really awesome. I'm doing okay. You know, we're quarantined here in the United States, and so my business has been really like virtual. I've been at home and self-quarantined for way before they told us to. So I've been home a while actually, and just adjusting to the new norm and trying to keep business floating when I get paid by public speaking, I get paid by, you know, going traveling, cannabis tourism, those type of things. So just adjusting.
Of course, yes. For those who are listening, Tanji is an amazing boss lady in the cannabis business. She's been in the industry for so many years alongside me, which is so happy for her to be here. She is the amazing chairwoman of the board of the Georgian Cannabis Coalition, and yeah, which is based in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, which is a state I love, and they are rolling out their legalization process for cannabis use, which is so exciting. So yeah, what are you really excited for when it comes to cannabis in Atlanta specifically? Because I love Atlanta's culture. It's so raw and real, and I just, yeah, what is your really visions for that?
So what I love about Atlanta, I'm from Atlanta, and I've been gone over 10 years just traveling and really digging deep in the cannabis industry and more legalized markets. And so I was able to bring that knowledge back to Georgia and back to Atlanta because we have so much here that, you know, we have to look forward to. We have the world's busiest airport, number one. We have over 20 Fortune 500 companies that are based here. And so I see the potential of what's going to happen. And so I said, if it's going to legalize anywhere, why not go home and make sure I bring proper knowledge, proper education, and make sure that, you know, the people that I know and love are part of this and don't get left out. So I see the potential here. I see within the next 5 years, it legalizing fully and us using the revenue for all types of things, whether it be infrastructure, whether it be technology. We also are the number one state for business in the United States. So we have a lot of business potential here as well when it comes to the cannabis industry. So I decided just to bring those skills back and see what I can accomplish, you know, with the Georgia Cannabis Coalition.
That is true. That was so interesting to learn with my last visit in Atlanta that it is like the state where a lot of the major businesses are actually based out of because of tax reasons and so many other reasons. But yeah, I'm really excited for Atlanta when it comes to cannabis. Was it in Atlanta where you first had your like cannabis experiences, where you first learned about cannabis because that's where you were raised? Was it in the home or was that later on in Denver and California? Because I remember as we've been in the industry, you were always in a different state or even in Jamaica. So, but was it Atlanta really where it started? Or tell me about that. What was like your first introduction to cannabis and, you know, really thinking and reflecting on where you are now, but also like, what was that like for our reading, for our listeners?
Absolutely. So for me, cannabis was something I always was told not to participate in. So when I was growing up, I was raised very religious. And so we always believed that cannabis and any other drug was bad for us, just like most people. I also was really heavily involved in the DARE program and believed the things that they told us about how bad cannabis was. And so my first experience, honestly, with cannabis was here. It was in Georgia, actually. I went to visit a friend in deep South Georgia, and her cousin had some. Was a really negative experience for me. I got sick. I choked really bad. I threw up everywhere. And it was just a bad experience for me. So I was like, okay, so I'm done. I'm good with that. And then fast forward, I'm a United States Marine Corps veteran. And so when I was in Iraq, I was, overlooking everything. And I hadn't grown up thinking I was going to join the military. I thought I was going to go to school. I thought I was going to, be a neonatal nurse. I thought I was going to travel the world being a traveling nurse. So I had all these plans and all these goals, and somehow I end up in Iraq. And my friend was smoking a blunt next to me, and I asked him to hit it. And that was my first real introduction of a positive experience with cannabis. I remember getting a good night's rest, even in a war zone at that time. And so fast forward 2 years later, I remembered that moment, and I decided to start participating in cannabis again, or partaking in cannabis again. And so that was my first experience with cannabis. Was actually bad, but I'm glad I didn't let it deter me enough to not try it ever again. And so from there, it's just been a positive experience with my insomnia, with my chronic back pain, with inflammation, with anxiety and depression, all the things that come with being a veteran and not getting the help that you think you deserve or need or want from the government. You've been able to substitute that with a plant and have a natural alternative to help.
Thank you. Yes, thank you exactly for that perspective from being in a war zone, from smoking a blunt just for one time and getting a good right night's rest, from to now. I've seen you speak on so many different vet panels, different cannabis conferences, and it really was cannabis that really gave me an insider's viewpoint from a vet's perspective when it comes to PTSD and traumatic pain, and rather than physical pain, really, but that too obviously included. So what do you think that really means for the future for vets and cannabis and having an optimal life? I think that cannabis is so great that it really gives us an optimal life, like a full-on life where we can live within our own means and not feel that we have to, take this medicine where we're just like zoned out all day. Well, you might just feel like a little bit better where we can eat or we can laugh and we can like enjoy our day just a little bit differently. So I wanted to just ask you, from your standpoint, what do you think that looks like, the future of like having pleasure and enjoying life as a vet and in terms of using cannabis use?
Yeah, so my whole goal and what I do with business is travel the world telling veterans, and it's not just veterans that suffer from PTSD. Most people, especially most Black people, suffer from PTSD. They've been through some type of traumatic experience where they, relive it over and over and over again. And my PTSD came in the form of nightmares. And so being able to utilize cannabis for my insomnia and to help me have a peaceful night's rest has been a game changer. And so being able to tell other veterans how they can utilize the plant in different ways, but not only just sleep. I've seen how cannabis has helped veterans become better spouses, better parents, better business owners, helping them focus and be in real time instead of always thinking they're in a fight or flight mode, always in danger, always, watching the room or circling the perimeter, thinking there is a dangerous situation when it's not, So I think that cannabis has been the thing that has brought me so much joy. And I'm just talking about deep joy when it comes to the overall aspect of my life, even now. So I off camera, we talked about I'm celebrating Ramadan for the first time ever in my life. Done this before, and I'm not Muslim, so I didn't even really know what it encompassed, but I just felt like this was the proper time to sacrifice and have discipline and see what I can push my parameters to be. And so I've noticed that without cannabis, food doesn't taste the same. Cannabis helps me enjoy my food. It helps me enjoy the nature and looking at birds and the sun and just everything about my life. I encompass cannabis with it, and I enjoy it, and I don't think anything is wrong with it. And I honestly think that most people are suffering from an endocannabinoid deficiency, like they don't get enough cannabis. So because of this, I'm only doing this as a means of testing myself, basically. But I think that people can enjoy cannabis on so many levels, and even pleasure, you know, pleasuring myself or pleasure with my partner. Cannabis has helped me to be in the moment, helped me focus, helped me not think about all the things that I need to do with my business when it's time to have pleasure. Those are the type of things that I think people take for granted, being able to have a conversation with someone and not think about, oh, I forgot to take the food out, or I forgot to go grocery shopping, or I forgot this, or I forgot this, or traffic, or, you know, oh, I forgot to send that mail. Those are the things that cannabis helps me with in the moment, in real time. And so I try to teach people that as I go out and I speak at these different conferences and I travel the world talking about it, because I think it really brings balance to everything.
That's so beautiful. And I think it's so simple. It's so simple and so effective. The fact that cannabis can just really bring you present into your given moment, when I think PTSD is really us, like, you know, getting triggered by traumas that happened to us in the past, right? That we're feeling it, that are coming on. So when I use CBD, CBD is incredibly known for anecdotal research, just by so many people like us that have been using CBD, just find that as soon as we use it more or less as a tincture, I just feel my worries just melting away, just disappearing. And I'm always so shocked on how quickly it works too. And so it only would make sense that cannabis and CBD can really help PTSD, but also just help us be more present and therefore having better lives, more lives full of joy and more lives full of pleasure, of course.
So that's what it's about. You know, I think we don't enjoy enough. We don't laugh enough. We don't be vulnerable enough. We don't open up enough. And we sometimes don't even have the words. And I think cannabis lowers our inhibitions, especially around someone we're safe around, someone we can, you know, express ourselves fully around. That, to me, especially my mental thoughts. So with PTSD and with the use of cannabis, I've been able to like take my thoughts and not only focus them, but also be like, okay, it's okay if I say this. Like, don't think about it too much. Just be honest, be open, and just let the words flow. And whatever comes out, comes out. But at that point, at that moment in time, it's all about being present. And especially with my partner, like, he and I have really open conversations. And what's even more interesting is he doesn't consume and I do. And so that's an interesting dynamic as well, because I want to find someone who's at a minimum understands that that's non-negotiable. That's one thing I'm going to do. And then that's okay if he doesn't. But being able to express myself freely without any, number one, inhibitions. And then number two, without any retribution, I would say, is what cannabis really allows me to feel and focus on.
Yeah, the freedom within our pleasure. Right? I love it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so tell us more about that. So you mentioned that you have a partner and your partner doesn't consume. So what is that dynamic like? Because I know we have a lot of our readers that are dating and they're always wondering, like, does it really matter if our partner consumes or not? Like, what does that dynamic look like? And what does it take really to make it work?
Ooh. So, you know, it's very interesting because he's older. And so he's been there, done that type of thing. So it's not something that he wants to incorporate in his life anymore. And I completely understand. I'm not a person that wants to push it on everyone. I think it's an individual's right to consume or not consume. So I just am that person that wants to educate you on the benefits, and you take that information and do what you want or choose to. But it's very important for me to be adamant about the fact that I do consume and that I need a space where this is not something that you, number one, frown upon when I do it, or you know, have some backwards comments, or I've been in relationships like that where they secretly judge you, or they, you know, have these snarky remarks, and I don't have time for that. Like, that's not something I'm willing to compromise on. So for us, our dynamic is, and when I call him my partner because we're in an adult relationship and we're lovers, but it's not necessarily my relationship and it's not necessarily what I want in life. I would want a partner that consumes. I want someone that does that with me because I've had that before and I understand how beautiful it is. Once we finish, we have a conversation, we're, especially over an argument. In the middle of an argument, it's amazing to be able to, okay, you take 3 puffs, I take 3 puffs, and then we're going to come back after we both calm down and then we can articulate our words better and we can listen when going into it, had I not consumed, I'm only focused on my point of view, right? I'm only thinking about what I need to say and not necessarily listening to what his opinion might be. So for me, cannabis in a relationship has been important, but in this one, it's more about maturity and it's more about, like, he understands that this is something that I enjoy doing. And then when I finish, then I come back and we enjoy each other together and it's never a problem. So It can work and then it can also not work. I've seen both situations, but it's basically about being honest and open. And he has a choice of being here and I have a choice of being here. And we choose to be with each other currently. You know, I don't know what the future might hold, but we choose to be here. And that in itself is beautiful because, you know, you don't have that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to understand. You don't have to take the time to realize, oh, okay, you haven't consumed today. Go ahead, go off and do what you need to do and then come back and then we'll be fine together. And that level of maturity is what I really appreciate, honestly.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And it's so simple. Like, I'm going back to, you know, it's like smoking a dump. I like how you already have a program that works. Like, 3 puffs me, 3 puffs you. Okay, we'll come back. Back to
this. It's a standard.
You know, let's keep this going and let's make, put the intention to work it out, to come to a compromise. And the mindfulness that cannabis can really bring you, and also the respecting part, you know, just on a level playing field with your partner, just talking it out. And yeah, I think it's such a beautiful opportunity if a partner can share that aspect, although it's totally fine if partners don't share that aspect and just respect the other partner's choice to consume or not to consume. But it just comes down to, you know, the lack of judgment, no judgment for, you know, their own choices, but just the respecting parts and loving parts, of course. So that makes total sense. And I'm sure our listeners will be happy to hear that. But we want to know even more, of course. So tell us, what do you think of when we talk about cannabis and sex? How is cannabis affecting your sex life today, especially with you and your partner?
So I remember before, I've been married before and I'm divorced. And so I got married really young. I got married at 19. And so I remember very young. Very, very young, just wasn't prepared. Neither one of us, we had no idea really what we were doing. But because I had went into the military, he moved up from Atlanta with me to North Carolina. And so we, you know, did the husband and wife thing. And then I remember being married and so unhappy sexually. Like, I was sexually unsatisfied, but I didn't know how to articulate it because I hadn't really experienced anything. I didn't know why I didn't like it. I didn't know why I wasn't happy. I just knew I wasn't. And I, you know, told him several times, and I don't think he knew how to please me because he hadn't really had that much experience either. And so fast forward, when I got divorced, I vowed, okay, I made sure that wasn't going to be a problem because I experimented. I tried to see what I liked, what I didn't like, what I preferred, what I didn't prefer. And I, you know, in society, you can be judged about that. And then And that's the thing that I don't really understand. I'm like, how else are you supposed to learn? How else are you supposed to know? How else are you supposed to reach those goals of being sexually satisfied. And I think that's a lot of people's issues. They're sexually suppressed. Like, they are so miserable and so unsatisfied that they don't even know how to articulate what their needs and wants are. And therefore they have resentment and, you know, things fall apart quickly. And so for me, sexual satisfaction is my utmost importance. Honestly, it is. If I go into a relationship and it could be perfect, I have been in relationships, but the sex wasn't good. And I just like, you know what? This is work. And you can teach your partner if they're willing to listen, if they're willing to learn. But for me, cannabis is a part of my sexual routine. I actually have a routine and I layer cannabis in different parts of it, especially so that I can show up for pleasure. I don't leave that to my partner exclusively. This is something that's my responsibility as well, so that, you know, when I get there, I'm in a position to receive what he's willing to give or what he's capable of giving. So when I say my sexual routine, I mean like I am, you know, eating dinner or eating a great meal so that I have energy. And then from there, I am eating an edible so that I can have it in my system and it can be in my system for 6 to 8 hours, right? So I'm not worried about consuming in the middle of the process or in the middle of a sexual encounter. And then I might go get in the tub and I'll soak in a CBD bath salt or, you know, a bath bomb or something like that, so that my skin and my muscles are relaxed. You know, you don't want to be all tight and tense when it comes to sexual pleasure. And then after that, I might rub a THC oil on my body so my skin is soft, but at the same time, I'm relaxing my skin. Our skin is our biggest organ. And so why not take care of it? Why not make it so that you are feeling good to the touch and you're sensitive and all of that good stuff. I might smoke a joint so that I can relax. And by that time, the edible is kicking in. My partner shows up and I am relaxed. I'm in a good mood. I have lingerie on. I got music playing. It's a vibe. I got those. You know, these are things I am making sure that I am in the receptive mode of pleasure. And so it's part of my sexual routine. It's a must for me. I have had sex without it, and I am able to orgasm, but it's not the same, I feel, as opposed to me consuming cannabis beforehand.
Yeah, it sounds like you really set up the atmosphere for the perfect experience to have an orgasm. You know, you're using CBD bath bombs, you're using this to relax your muscles and, you know, just feel more in tune with your body. That is just going to allow you to have an orgasm way easier than without it, especially, you know, having a joint beforehand, you know, and maybe an edible too, because that works for you. That works that high dosage, you know. But I'm totally the same way. For any cannabis connoisseur who's been consuming for years will definitely enjoy the same. But yeah, setting up that atmosphere, because cannabis can really just let us let go and give in to our orgasm so much more easier. And they're so much more easier to attain and reach. And yeah, it's a no-brainer, either smoking it or using it topically. Like, I love it.
Exactly. I found that, you know, it's just not even worth doing it without consuming. And I know that might be intense for some people, and that's for beginners. I would say maybe a joint that you share with your partner. Maybe y'all do something together, or maybe even a massage oil, a THC massage oil. How intimate is that for him to rub that on you, or your partner to rub that on you, and you guys experience that together? You don't necessarily have to smoke or even consume cannabis, but incorporating in some, even a lube. Like, I like cannabis lubes, honestly, the CBD, the THC ones. I don't use them as often. For me, I don't know if I feel it by the time I... They do work, right? But I recommend them to everyone, especially people. When I found out, so I have a course called CBD and Intimacy, and I had to do a lot of research. And when I found out all the women that weren't experiencing orgasms, and I found out the men that were suffering from erectile dysfunction, and I found out about, you know, the painful sex and the cystic fibrosis and the like, I was blown away. I was like, people are not experiencing what's happening in our society. That's why people are mad. That's why they're angry. That's why they're frustrated. They're all bottled up inside. So it's been my goal and my dream, you know, everywhere I go to talk about cannabis and sex, because I think those are the two things that adults do that we don't talk about. And it blows my mind.
I think everybody has their own personal experience and own story when it comes to their sexuality and when it comes to their experience coming to terms with cannabis, I guess. I love the story that you mentioned that you were married, but you were so unhappy. And, you know, because you felt that you weren't ready sexually because you didn't even know what that really even looked like, to be honest, at that point. And I can totally relate and resonate with that statement. I remember being engaged, I think, when I was around 21 years old, so super early. And I was just so nervous, being like, I don't even know if I can offer enough because I feel like I didn't know enough. And it was really like my duty to figure that shit out for myself. You know, just figure out what that really looks like. What do I personally like when it comes to my own personal pleasure, regardless of my partner? Like, what do you want? You know, and it takes some balls, I guess, or to really look yourself in the mirror and figure out, like, you need to learn how to pleasure yourself. And, you know, you deserve to understand what your triggers are and, you know, what is going to help you get to that next level if you really want that, because you deserve that type of pleasure. And I think a lot of our listeners can relate to that. And yeah, do you want to tell us a little bit of your pleasure story and journey? Because I think it's an ongoing journey for all of us, of course. But it's, I can definitely relate to it for sure.
Absolutely. You know, what's crazy is, like, I have conversations. I speak a lot, obviously you said that, but when I speak, I remember recently being with a group of women and we were all having conversations, and I was talking to them about masturbation and I was talking to them about my sexual routine, and they were just shocked. They were like, they were talking about how they masturbate under the covers and they have the lights out. And I was like, what? Like, why? Like, it's only you. Who else is you have to free yourself. I don't know where all these inhibitions came from. I'm not sure where all of this suppression came from. I think it's societal. I think it's global, because it's not just in America that we have these problems. You're in Canada and we can relate. And I've been in Jamaica and I've related to women. And it just blows my mind for several reasons. Number one, we were talking about masturbating with, you know, the lights on, and I was on top of the cover and I had a porn, and it took me forever to pick the porn, and I was just going through all of it, and they were like, what? Like, to be able to be open and free and talk about it, I think was an eye opener even for them. And I was shocked that people weren't talking about this. Another thing that I expressed to them was how many times I have gotten up from a situation that didn't serve me, you know? And I think people feel obligated because, oh, we're naked now, and, you know, oh, let's just go through it. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? That's ridiculous. I can count at least 24 times where I have gotten up and walked away from the situation because I was not pleased. I'm talking about a dude is like having oral sex with me and I can tell he's not enjoying it, and I'm not enjoying it. And I'm looking at, and I tap him on his head and I'm like, whoa, whoa. Let's have a conversation here. Let's talk about this. I was like, do you enjoy doing this? And he's like, it's okay. I don't mind. I was like, oh no, you don't mind. This is not how this works. You have to enjoy doing this. You have to love doing this. And if you don't, it shows and it feels like it. And so I got up, I put my clothes on and I left. And so people were like, oh my God, you left? Like, you didn't say, no, I don't owe you anything. I owe myself pleasure. And if I'm not able to get that in this situation, then this situation is not serving me. And I need to exit. We need to have a conversation. We're old enough and we're adult enough to talk about it. If you're willing to learn about what pleasures me and what makes me happy, then awesome. If not, awesome too. I have the right to go find someone who does. And so I think it's one of those situations where women need to understand their power, and I don't think they do sexually. And that frustrates me for several reasons, because if you're not sexually satisfied, then what was the point of being here in the first place? What was the point of going through the motions and, you know, putting your body through this when you didn't even come out winning on the other end of it? And so I have conversations openly with women about this because I think it's so sad. It's not even just straying my best friends who I thought were just as powerful as me who are telling me, Tangie, oh my goodness, it was like bad. I'm like, why did you stay? Like, what in the world made you do? I thought you were bigger than this. I thought you knew better than this. And so it's been an eye opener for the amount of women who continue to experience unsatisfactory sexual experiences and continue to go through them. It's just unacceptable to me.
It's unacceptable. And this is, oh my God, so much why I love you, because you were just being incredibly honest and just shining light on a huge issue, like the orgasm gap issue. Like, you know, men will always have the opportunity to have an orgasm, but why is it so difficult for us to, as women, to do that? Even when we're disappointed, we're still sticking around. Ladies, no, we're not.
No, ma'am.
We can have conversations with them. We can, if they're not interested in that particular experience, let's try a different experience. You know, there's so many ways that you can cut up this amazing pizza, which is exciting, but it's all about trying all the flavors. Come on. But you know, it shines a light on a very, very, very important topic, which is what I was trying to get to, is coming to terms with shame, you know? And like you said, it's very much systemic. It's not something that is, you know, not for different classes or different races. It's just like really a global issue, systemic issue when it comes to how we treat women, really, as humans, or less than, really. And it's unfortunate that we have gone through so many years of being degraded and being used for sex. But I think at a time like this, at a time with the feminist revolution, in a time where the sexual revolution is happening, in a time where women are finally owning their pleasure, it's a great opportunity for us to all learn. It's a great opportunity for us to have these conversations and say that if I'm not enjoying myself, why should I be included? And I get that, you know, we all have obligations to in relationships, in partnerships, but these are things that we need to have broader conversations about just to have better sex, period, because everybody deserves it to not have juicy, nourishing, healthy sex. Is not healthy for the body. It's not healthy for relationships. So it just makes sense. Stop, you know, doing things that you don't want to do, because there's a million things you can honestly do. Millions of things. All right.
And I want to bring a point up. Like, I think it's important to understand, like, when you look at the term happy wife, happy life, right? I think it's taken out of context, because you feel like you need to bend over backwards for this individual in order to make the household a comfortable place. And I think that's all wrong, the wrong way to look at this, because happy wife, happy life means, especially for me and my perspective, if I'm sexually satisfied, if my needs are met, I'm going to go above and beyond to make sure yours are as well, because I feel like it should be reciprocated. But I think my needs, because it's me and I'm the individual, have to be prioritized. And that's just my, and you can do the same thing as a male, as a female, whoever your partner is, your needs are prioritized as well. What I'm saying is, when we come to this particular meeting of the minds, or this space where we're going to enjoy each other sexually, I need to make sure that this is going to benefit me. And if it does, I promise you, you know, I promise you, you're going to walk away so satisfied and so happy, because I want to give abundantly. I want to make sure you're good too. I want to make sure my love and my pleasure for you is equally as powerful. So I think we need to look at this perspective wrong. I mean, we look at the perspective wrong when women feel obligated to be, you know, pressured into having sex for their wifely duties or for in a relationship, when no, if you make sure she's good, your house is good, you got a good meal, your house is clean, like the kids are happy, you know, you're coming home to a energy that is peaceful and way better than what you left out in the world, the chaos of the world. So I think we need to look at it a different way and really prioritize and put things in perspective. Like, yeah, if she's happy or if he's happy, I guarantee you, you're gonna be happy as well. That's kind of like how it works.
Yeah, exactly. And like, circling back, it comes down to respect. And you know what they say, couples that smoke together stay together.
They really do.
I don't know, but yeah, we'll hope that stays true.
What would be the problem? Like, what? I don't see how it couldn't work, because we're sitting down, right? And cannabis, like, this is why it's so important for you to understand how it works in your body. It is attaching to receptors in your brain and causing physiological responses. So you're in real time, right? You're focused and in the moment, right? You're calm, you're collective, you are present, and you're not yelling, you're not all over the place. Your thoughts aren't irrational. You're able to make sure that what you say doesn't hurt the person that's trying to receive it. You really think about what your words do and mean. And I think, I don't see how it could be a problem. Every relationship that I've had, cannabis was never the issue. It was probably something else, but I promise you, cannabis was not the issue. So couples that smoke together, probably they really do stay together sometimes.
Right. It just helps. Cannabis helps in so many magical, beautiful ways. And I think you and me just caught the bug really early on and have been on it since then, because we've just seen it work tremendous things for so many different people. So what are your tips? I know you speak internationally like me, which is awesome. What are your tips for our listeners to, you know, probably going to label this, you know, lovers and PTSD and vets? Like, what do you have for that type of audience that deals with anxiety or PTSD when it comes to CBD, or cannabis? You know, like, what are some tips that they can try right now at home?
Absolutely. So I think it's very important to note that you don't have to smoke. I think most people feel pressurized to consume cannabis in one particular way. And that's so frustrating to me, because there's so many different ways. I'm talking about if you wanted to have a tea with a CBD or THC honey in it, you know, that's awesome. If you wanted to just have a salve and just put it on and relax your muscles before that partner comes in, or even a lube, a THC or CBD lube, a tincture underneath the tongue. There are suppositories. Believe it or not, suppositories are incredible when it comes to sexual satisfaction, because they're creating your lower level is being relaxed and stimulated without you feeling high. So I love those, you know, great for anal, you know, if you wanted to relax your anus and you wanted to go that route, go do you, boo. So I think it's really important for people to understand there's so many ways that you can consume, and it's not just all about smoking, but it's a conversation. Number one, let's just start with a conversation. Look, this, I want to try this. Like, let's see how this works with us. We don't have to do it all the time, or maybe I just want to do it, or maybe we want to figure out a routine together. But it starts with a conversation, and it starts with seeing where your partner's head is at and where you're at. What needs do you need met at the moment and the time? Is it a conversation? Is it more stimulation foreplay? Is it more penetration? Is it not penetration? Like, you have to articulate what works best for you and your partner, and then from there you can build a foundation upon that. It's not going to be the first time, probably not going to be the fifth time, the 500th time. You just have to keep working at it, and you're not going to get like me and Antoinette overnight. This took years to build. This took trial and error. This took educating ourselves on what works for us and being comfortable enough to articulate that and express that to our partners. So I think it's a start, but you have to start somewhere. And where that is for you might be different from where that is from me, but I encourage you to do it. I encourage you to try it. I have talked to so many people and help them understand mentally, physically, and spiritually how cannabis has been able to help me. And so just the conversations and being able to put it in real form to them and give them a real one-on-one person point of view has been so helpful to them. And they told me that, like, oh, I never thought of it that way, or I never even thought to try it. So again, it is trial and error. And for those people that are in non-compassionate states or countries, it's all about safety as well. So CBD is great for that. I definitely recommend that. Or ordering it online, you know, THC, CBD is legal all over the world. So you can absolutely try that and incorporate that in any way that you see fit. But yeah, I think it's a conversation where I need, you know, to reduce anxiety. I need to be present in the moment. I need to be wetter. I need to be harder. I need to be, you know, I need to cannabis also physically, it releases, it increases your blood flow. So your penis is engorged, your nipples are engorged, they're more sensitive. This is why it's working so well. So trying it and making sure that you try it regularly or at least once, you know, a week, I definitely would try it once a week and see what it's like before and after. And if it works, good. And if it doesn't, get rid of it. Don't try it no more, but at least try it before you knock it.
And I think the trying phase is like honestly the most fun phase ever. Like I miss that trying phase, like trying things that see what worked best for you. Like, oh, that was so much fun. Or,
you know? Right? You can never get that first time back. And I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
It's like, man, that first real orgasm where you like flooded the sheets and you're like, oh. I didn't even know I could do that. Like, oh my goodness. Like, wow. Like, so yeah, those experiences are invaluable. And I say, keep a journal, you know, write it down, write down your thoughts before and after, write down your experience. So you can always go back and look at it. I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have kept like a little diary or journal or something.
Journals are so good for new cannabis users, for sure. It helps you really identify like what strains work for you and what strains don't work. So what strains do you like? What are your favorite strains or what are your favorite ways to consume?
So I just, you know, strains are weird to me now because I just know that they're like hybrids. And I just feel that there's a difference between West Coast and East Coast here in the United States. East Coast, they just don't have the knowledge that I'm used to or the access to clean medicine that I'm used to. They don't know what strains it is and they don't know what terpene profiles are, so they can't tell me what's in it. And I'm the type of person, like, if it's during the day, I want something more citrusy, more piney. If it's nighttime, I need something with more myrcene in it, so it's more relaxing. So but Jelly Bean has always been my go-to favorite for daytime. Mm-hmm. It's really citrusy and uplifting and like really bright. And I love that profile. And then I like something heavy, like a Jet Fuel at night, you know, like I like something strong. I do, especially when it comes to sexual satisfaction. I don't want to be in my brain thinking a lot. So a sativa is out for me. I need something, mm-hmm. a strong indica or indica dominant hybrid is what my go-tos are because I want to relax my body. I want to relax my mind and I want to just be overwhelmed with pleasure. And if you don't know what that feels like, I promise you, like, figure that out. Figure out how to be overwhelmed with pleasure. Like, I promise you'll never forget it, ever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they will figure it out. We've given them so many tips, as you've mentioned, playing around with CBD at home and all of those last aspects. I was wondering, where can people find you now? So,
yes, so you can go to I'm Jane.green on everything. Jane is Jayn.green, or so you can go to www.jane.green for more information on me. I'm on social media _JaneGreen, and I have courses out, so go to my website. And if you want CBD and intimacy, you can absolutely pick that up. And I talk about my sexual routine in there, I talk about and how I've been able to overcome the issues that I have when it comes to sexual satisfaction. And also, if you want to learn about how cannabis works for the body and if CBD is right for you, there's information there as well.
You're the best, Tanji. Awesome. Thank you guys for amazing another episode. That one was really juicy and lots of fun. Really, really good. I was really happy with that. We have an exciting podcast coming up next week. We have Ashley Athill from The Harvest. This episode will be covering cannabis and fibroids. It's one that's been very much wanted, very popular and heated. So I'm really excited to get that one out for you guys ASAP. And thank you, Tanji, again for another epic episode.
Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
Awesome. Yes, so much. Thanks, guys, for listening. Talk to you next time. Ciao. Bye.